Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here Tuesday, April the 13th, 2021, 15 minutes past the hour. And today I do want to send out birthday wishes to my grandfather, who's having a birthday today. So happy birthday to him. And then also here, we got the news earlier, but I wanted to double check in, and it's being put out on all news sources at this particular point, that the FDA and the CDC are recommending pausing use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine after reports of rare blood clots. So this is going to, I would imagine, feed into a lot of the hysteria and worry that has been going in and around the vaccines as of late. Let's go to the phone lines. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. I guess I will touch on two topics that I'm known to be a bit of an authority on. I think it should be ceasing use, not causing use, by the way. I just heard that.
What's that?
You said causing use of the vaccine. I think it should be ceasing, like stopping.
Well, it's U.S. You have to blame the USA Today on that one. Pausing is what they said.
That wouldn't surprise me. That's the media for you. I mean, I would comment a little more controversially on the masks and the flu and the cold, but I just wanted to give information related to another one of my skills, which is detective work online. In addition to English and geography and music and who knows what else, the case for Mr. Warner is listed event by event on the internet, and it looks like the time of reckoning is about 9:30 tomorrow morning with Judge 10:30. With Patricia, or 9:30 Central, Patricia A. Cosgrove, the judge. It says disposition, which I assume is the sentencing. So it is. It's available online. It's really actually the website's really good. It goes item by item, and that appears to be when we will find out. So 25 hours and 15 minutes, boys and girls, it'll get underway, and we'll see what happens. And I, as I've said before, he should get what's coming to him. As a judge, he certainly should set a precedent, should be a good example, and driving drunk, that's bad enough, but hit-and-run accident with an injury to a young person, not very cool. And so whatever he deserves, which in my opinion is getting the book thrown at him, let's hope that that happens. And I think we're all kind of waiting with bated breath.
Well, see, to be honest with you, the whole thing is going to be what it's going to be, and I guess it's my understanding that the judge will be choosing the sentence because this was not a jury trial that was waived, and I guess we'll see what happens. I don't know. There were a lot of things in this case that I think were really not fleshed out. I don't know that he was driving. I still don't think we know if they were intoxicated.
Yeah. It's not, and I mean, who knows what certainly something bad was done, and he needs to come clean. And this is the same judge that sentences people for the kind of things that he did, and things that are much less serious. And it's a shame. And you look at his qualifications, I mean, they're great. He's on paper, he's a perfect person. He's a good age. I mean, he's 50, excellent education and background. And you make mistakes, that's one thing. And you know, the DUI, well, that's none too good in and of its own. But this hit and run thing, just not being responsible. And was it just because he was drunk or he was scared or he just felt he was a judge and he's better than everybody and doesn't have to follow the law? I don't know. I'm not people smart enough to make that determination. But he needs to go to jail, as pretty much everybody I've talked to who has an opinion would agree.
Well, and I think they'll make that determination tomorrow, and as I said earlier in the week, I think if that does happen, I think there will be a lot of people who feel that's right, and then if it doesn't happen, I think there'll be a lot of people who will probably stage protests.
Again, peaceful protests, and as well they should. But right now, Scott, you would know better. There are two judges, he and the other judge, whose name I forget, but I could look it up, obviously. Does the other there's a visiting judge who's doing Warner's cases, because one judge can't handle the work of what was two judges.
It's my understanding that former Judge Finnegan has taken a lot of those cases.
Okay, and then that's, I would assume, a temporary, and then at the election Warner, he's not doing any judge work, and obviously if he goes to jail, he wouldn't be. But I guess he hasn't lost his law license, for example, as far as I know, and he's still officially in his position. So will they have, I guess you can maybe ask the mayor or the prosecutor when they're on next, but they would, at the next election, elect another judge. I'm not sure if you knew. I just, with two judges and 50% of those judges not judging, obviously something has to be resolved.
I'm sure there's something probably in the ordinances that would call for this if somebody would die or if somebody resigns or if somebody would retire early. I'm sure there's something in there.
So he has not lost his law license, and he's not getting paid. He's not getting paid just to. Just to be on a sabbatical of some kind, right?
I really don't know, because there was a story that ran a few weeks ago, I think, in which the other judge, Judge Edwards, was talking about how it's a long process to remove a judge. So I really don't know at this point.
Well, again, being in political office, because politicians, I mean, how many Illinois governors have gone to jail? It was literally two or three in a row that had committed some criminal offenses, and it does happen. Remember, Bob Taft almost went to jail a while back. I mean, he kind of got a lecture from the judge, but they let him off. It was something much, much less serious. I mean, this is obviously very serious. So it does happen. And, yeah, I assume that will be resolved after the sentence, but he certainly should never practice law again, and he certainly shouldn't be wearing a judge's robe anymore. But I guess we'll find out. Do you have any predictions? What you think? I know you don't usually predict this stuff, Scott. Any predictions as to what you think the sentence might be? Or want to ask listeners what they think?
You know, I really don't know, because in my opinion, you know, there are two people who are going to be sentenced, and I'm not really sure they're going to get the same sentence.
Because no, we don't know.
I don't know. So I don't know.
It's a fourth-degree felony. That's pretty serious.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly could result in jail time. It would not surprise me if it did. But then again, if it didn't, I believe it is their first offenses. Thank goodness nobody died. I don't know. I think it all depends on what this judge feels and believes. I certainly know what the prosecutors have recommended. They recommended prison time. But
I agree with that.
Out tomorrow.
Okay, I think we know what will be the headline story on the Thursday morning edition of the paper.
I would say so. I would say as soon as it comes out.
I love seeing that nice photo of you with Mr. Phil or whatever you call him. That's kind of a running joke at the station. But this is a serious story that obviously should be the front page headline, and I expect it will be in a couple of days. So we'll see, and let's hope that the right thing is done.
Now, what was the other subject you wanted to comment on?
Well, I could talk about masks and the flu and people getting sick. I'll pass on that for now. I'll just go ahead and use my cerebral detective side instead, and we'll maybe in the future discuss that. But also about ceasing. I think that's what the word should be. But yeah, USA Today. I mean, these newspapers, Scott, they don't proofread sometimes, and you see headlines that don't make a lot of sense. But I would assume that that's what they mean. I mean, it's a big story, and there's basically four vaccines, and the whole idea of the side effects and. Is it worth risking getting the illness? Have you already had it? Have you developed your own immunity, or should you receive expected immunity from a vaccine? It's a decision we have to make, and it's a political issue, it's a scientific issue, and it's certainly one talked about in media facilities and coffee tables all over the country and all over the world.
We shall see how it all turns out. Well, thanks for calling.
No problem, Scott. Keep up the great work, and I'll be listening.
All right, and we continue on this morning, 740-383-9944. If you have an opinion on any of this, give me a buzz. It's a big morning here, news-wise. So apparently, 24 hours from now, the sentencing will come down for Judge Warner. And this will end almost a year of from beginning to end when the incident happened to the sentencing. Very interesting year, very interesting case. Or if you have anything to say about the vaccination at this point, that's also an interesting story here. Go ahead, caller.
As far as felonies go, the higher the number, the less severe it is. That's a fourth-degree felony. And he ain't never been in trouble before. He's going to get a little smacky smack on the wrist.
You think even with the prosecutor recommending jail time?
Yeah, that's just a recommendation. I'll be willing to bet you a dollar he's going to get a smacky smack on the wrist.
So you think there'll be no prison time, do you think, for either one of them?
Nope.
Well, how do you think people will react? Because people in the community have had...
They're probably saying they are who they are. But not really. In reality, I mean, if they have a squeaky clean record, and as I say, the higher the number of felony, the less severe it really is. But I don't know.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because justice is supposed to be blind.
Yeah,
but
speaking of justice, what do you make of that mess with that Dante Wright? Do you believe that malarkey? I thought it was my favorite.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
How are you a cop for 25 or 35, whatever years, what choice it is, and you don't know the difference between a taser and a handgun?
You know what all these stories make me think about is that there are much worse things to be involved in than anything you could be involved in. You know, people are stressed out every day about little things. And then you see these things that people are facing. I don't know how they get through all the stress.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got the victims, and then you've got the people who are perpetrating these things, and the court cases they have to go through and all this. It's fascinating to...
How would you like to be the guy that's just trying to make a living running like a little mom and pop corner store, but then doing the crossfires of the riots and then your business is annihilated? I feel bad for that guy.
Well, this is the media, though, now, and this is the internet media to a great degree. I think they get people stirred up to a certain degree, and
sometimes people need stirred up. I mean, if people are dying for no good reason, that's as good a cause as any to get people stirred up. And as much as I hate to admit it, who are you going to pay more attention to? Someone chanting, holding up a sign, or somebody, you know, busting out windows and doing all that?
Well, that's right. The people who get the attention are the squeaky wheels, but I don't... Hopefully change comes, and hopefully it comes through peaceful protests, because I think the people who are running the mom-and-pop shop or the people who are just going about their daily business, I don't think they deserve to be assaulted or assailed or have their business shut down.
Yeah, collateral damage.
Yeah. So we'll find out in just about 24 hours what goes on with the judge. And
it does make you wonder, you know. I mean, that'd be pretty... bad if it was a mistake, but that's kind of hard to wrap your mind around how you'd make that stupid of a mistake.
You know, well, this comes back to the conversation that we were having almost a week ago about guns, is that do people feel more empowered? Do they make mistakes? Are they more inclined to make mistakes? I don't know. It's hard to tell.
And on the other hand, you've got to think, if you have a really bad situation, I mean, you can't take the bad guy down with a super soaker. I mean, we got to figure something out here. Well, I'll be tuning in.
Well, thank you. All right, and again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944, 28 minutes past the hour. A lot of subjects on the table this morning. If the lines are ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So keep on calling back in. We would love to hear from you. But definitely a story this morning that the USA Today has... we'll take the call here first, and then we will come back to this. Go ahead, caller.
I think if the Warners don't go to prison, I think we're going to see mass rioting in downtown Marion. You know, it's going to be like Detroit, Chicago, Los Angeles.
Well, let's hope not.
Well, you know, you better be prepared, you know. It's going to be a mess.
What do you think is going to happen?
Me? Rioting, looting.
No.
Downtown Marion.
Yeah, right, but what do you think is going to be the verdict? Or the sentence?
Oh, I think they're going to get off.
Oh, you think?
I think they're going to get off scot-free because he's a judge and he's got political power.
We shall see.
Okay,
thank you. And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, we'll all know in 24 hours how this all turns out. But again, the phone lines are open for your opinions this morning. That's what we're here for. Community, information, education, and hopefully learning as we go along. You know, this whole 4 hour sleep thing is really not working for me today. The brain is not catching up quickly. But it is an interesting story this morning with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. According to the USA Today and a lot of other outlets this morning, the headline is, the FDA CDC recommend pausing use of Johnson & Johnson vaccine after reports of rare blood clots. I would imagine this is not going to fare very well for people who are already skeptical of the vaccinations. And it will be what it will be, but does anybody have any idea what the impact of this might be? 740-383-9944. If you have an opinion, give us a call, or if there's anything going on in your world that you would like to talk about, we would be glad to discuss it with you. 740-383-9944. Okay, now I'm going to tell you why I only got 4 hours sleep. And I'm going to try to do this, because normally, I know it's hard to believe, but I don't really like to get on here and talk about myself too often. But I feel this story's worth telling, since I'm telling you that I only got 4 hours sleep last night. Okay, here's what happened. So, yesterday, somewhere about 2:30 or 3 o'clock, I was out doing something. And was out in the community doing something. And I started to feel kind of funny. I had a mask on. And I started to feel kind of short of breath. And, you know, that's not normal for me. And I also kind of felt warm. And I thought, this is kind of strange. So I finished what I was doing. And I went outside where I could take the mask off, and I took the mask off, and I felt better after I took the mask off, and I thought, okay, well, I'm going to go home now, and hopefully this all clears up. And I went home. As I say, this was about 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. I end up going home, and I just kind of felt funny last night. Just felt a little funny. I didn't have a shortness of breath or anything like that, just felt funny. And it got to be like 10 o'clock last night, and I thought, you know, I live alone, and the last thing you want to have happen is something wake you up in the middle of the night that is not good, and I wasn't sure what had happened in the middle of the day anyway. So I thought, maybe I should call... Maybe I should call the doctor. Maybe I should go to the ER just to get checked out. So I decided, because it was 10 o'clock, I thought, well, I'll go to the ER. Now, see, this was my first mistake because it's 10:30 at night and I have to be up early to come in here in the morning. So I go to the ER. And the good news is I get to the ER about 10:30. Now, first of all, I was problem-ridden on my way out there because... I realized I did not have much gas left in my car. I don't know why I wasn't paying attention to that early in the day, but I didn't have much gas left in the car. But I got to the ER, and I walked in, and I go up to the front desk, and I say, you know, this afternoon, the story that I just told you. This afternoon, I had a little shortness of breath. I felt a little warm, and since then, I haven't felt just right, so I want to get checked out. Okay, no problem. I walk into the emergency room, and there is nobody in there. Nobody in the waiting area. So I think, oh, okay, this is good. This is going to be fairly simple. So I end up going into the little triage area. I didn't have to sit down at all. Went right into the triage area. And she asked me what had happened, and I told the story for the third time. And she took my oxygen levels, and they were normal. And she took my blood pressure, and it was normal. And she took my temperature, and it was normal. So everything was normal. So I think, okay, well, that's good news. And she said, but, you know, let's check you out and make sure everything's okay. So she gets me a room. So I go into one of these little rooms in the ER, and I get in the bed, and that's all they tell me to do. Get in the bed, and I'm fully clothed, sitting in the bed, just waiting for something to happen. Okay, so at this point, a guy comes into the room and starts to put up the railings on the bed. And I'm confused because at this point, nobody's been in. No doctors, no nurses, nothing. Nobody's been in the room, but here comes this guy, and he doesn't really identify who he is, but he's putting up the railings on the bed. And he says, I'm going to take you down for an X-ray. I said, oh, okay, well, that works. And I said to him, because at this point, as I say, I have no idea what's going on. I said, what are we X-raying? And he says, oh, I think it's a chest X-ray, but I'm not really sure. And I thought, well, okay, that's fine. Chest X-ray, that works out for me. So I am being wheeled down. And again, he's put these sides up on the bed, which kind of struck me odd. So I say to him, as we're going down to X-ray, I say, are you worried about people falling out of the bed? And he says, well, you know, we don't want anybody to keel over. We don't want anybody to keel over. So I say to him, is this something that happens often? Because at this particular point, you know, I'm not really interested in keeling over. I certainly don't feel like I'm going to keel over, but, you know, the sides of the bed are up now, so at least if I do keel over, I won't take a header onto the floor. So this is, you know, at this point, you're feeling a little uneasy. So you go down to the X-ray, and he leaves the room, and here comes this X-ray technician out, and she says, are you okay to stand up? And I said, well, normally I would be, but the sides of this bed are up. The railings are up. So, you know, unless I would jump over the railing, I'm not really sure how to get out of this bed. So she takes down the railing. I get up, do the chest X-ray on my feet. Bam, bam, bam. Very quick process. Get back in bed. The guy comes back in, puts the railings back up on the bed, apparently so I don't keel over and fall down in the middle of the floor, and takes me back to the room. So at this point, he leaves, and I still really have no direction on what they think or why I'm there. At this point, I really have no idea. So about maybe 5 or 10 minutes pass, and I'm just sitting there thinking about, you know, if I do keel over now, at least the railings on the bed are up. So at least the procedure has been done and the hospital will not be sued. So then here comes the nurse. And the nurse comes in and says, well, we're going to get an EKG to make sure everything's working okay. But he says it very quickly and he hands me a gown and he says, blah, blah, blah. That's what it sounded like. Blah, blah, blah. It was just all kind of jumbled. And then he left the room. Now, I have no idea what he said. Now, I kind of heard him say, you know, obviously take some of your clothes off so you can get the EKG done. But I don't know what he wanted off. And frankly, I'm not in the business of taking more off at this point than I need to. So I take, you know, the top half of the clothing off, because I figure that's all you really need at this point for an EKG. And I also have this gown to put on now. So I go to put this gown on, and there are no sleeve holes, and there is no hole to stick my head through. So I'm thinking, you know, what am I supposed to do with this thing? Just drape it over top of me? Because it does not look like a piece of clothing that is beneficial to me at this particular point. So I just kind of lay back down in the bed, and I put this thing over top of me. And the nurse comes back in, and he didn't seem to have any problem with just the top half of the clothing being off to do this EKG. So he comes in and puts these stickers on, and, you know, they're looking at my blood pressure, and because they did put that cuff on when he came back in. I have the oxygen thing on my finger. I think it's called a bull sock monitor. And I have the blood pressure cuff on, and those are all fine. So the guy's in, and he's putting the things on my chest to do the EKG. And at this point, I'm thinking, well, I need to make some conversation with this nurse, because it's very awkward at this point. And I said, hey, you know, there are no arms or a place to put your head in this gown. And he said, oh, yeah, laundry always sends them back this way. Let me try to fix this for you. He said, but well, let's wait till we get the EKG done, then I'll fix this for you. Okay, so he's preparing to do the EKG, and he does it, and then he says, okay, we'll get the results of this, and we'll get the results of the chest x-ray, and then he puts just a heart monitor on after they do the EKG. So he leaves, and he fixes the gown. Now the gown's on. And now I'm laying in the bed again, waiting for something to happen. Now, pretty quickly again, here comes in the doctor. Now, she's a very young doctor, very nice doctor, young, nice. She comes in, and she says to me, well, she said, the chest x-ray is already back, and that's clear. There are no issues there. And she said the EKG already came back, and there's nothing there that would show that you had any kind of heart issue. But to make me feel safer, I want to do some blood work. And I thought, okay, well, that's fine. And she says, have you ever seen a cardiologist? And I said, well, no, I haven't seen a cardiologist. Would there be a reason for me to see a cardiologist? And she said, well, you know, sometimes you can get echocardiograms and you can have things like this done. And I said, well, do I need to have an echocardiogram? Are you seeing something on any of these tests that would denote this? And she said, well, no, the tests are all coming back fine. But, you know, we just want to err on the safe side. She says, I don't think this is anything that's fatal. And I said, you don't think. Now, see, this is not what you want to hear. I don't think this is anything that's fatal. Because what you want to hear is, this is not fatal. Not, I don't think. Because if the doctor doesn't know, then we're in a world of hurt. So she orders this blood work. So she leaves the room, and here comes in the nurse again. He's back to do the blood work. So he says, well, I'm just going to put an IV in your arm, and I'll take the blood out that way. And that way, if we need to give you anything else, we can just give it through the IV. And now, see, now I'm thinking, here's what I've got so far. I've got the first guy who came in who says he's putting the railings up on the bed so people don't keel over. And then I've got the doctor who's saying, I don't think this is fatal. And now I've got the nurse in the room who's saying, in case we have to give you something else, we're going to put an IV in to drain this blood out of you. These things are not boding very well in my mind at about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning at this point. So he takes the blood, and while he's taking the blood, he starts telling me about his medicals. Because he's looking up at the board, and he's saying, well, your blood pressure is okay. He said, boy, I wish my blood pressure was okay. And I said, your blood pressure is not okay. And he said, no. He said, you know, my blood pressure runs high, and I had to wear a heart monitor, and I'm on blood pressure medicine. And I said, oh. I said, you know, how's that all going? And he said, well, he said, my doctor retired, so I'm not taking the medicine anymore. And I said, is this a good reason to stop taking blood pressure medicine because your doctor retired? And he said, no, I probably still should be taking it. A matter of fact, I probably should make a call. Now, this is the nurse telling me that they have stopped taking their blood pressure medication. I guess they're just making judgment calls. I don't know. But see, now, this even makes me more antsy because this is the guy taking my blood at this particular point. So he gets the blood finally, and he leaves the room, and he says, well, the doctor will be back in as soon as we have the results of your blood work. So everything's moving fairly quickly at this point, and everything has come back good, and they say, if the blood work comes back, we'll send you home. So I'm sitting there waiting now. And while you wait, because I was there alone, I'm waiting and thinking to myself, okay, I had this little episode earlier today, and then it led to some guy coming in the room, putting up the sides of the bed, telling me they do this so people don't keel over and probably fall on the floor. And then that's followed up by a doctor telling me she doesn't think anything is fatal. And then I've got the nurse who took my blood telling me that he does not take his blood pressure medication that he's supposed to take. And now I'm waiting for the blood work results to see if apparently I'm going to go home last night or not. And this took about close to 2 hours, well, I don't know, an hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that, because this is probably all going on around midnight. So right around 2 o'clock in the morning, I hear a knock at the door, and I've been just sitting there, you know, ruminating for 2 hours, you know, thinking about, should I amend my will? Why is it taking so long for the blood work to come back? Because the EKG and the chest x-ray came back very quick. Oh man, did they find something in the blood out there? You know, you start to think these things because you're in the room alone and it's 1 o'clock in the morning and oh man, what's going on? So, and by the way, when she would come in the room, when the doctor would come in the room, I would notice that my blood pressure would go up. My blood pressure was okay, except when she was in the room. When she was in the room, it would go up like 30 notches. Because she, you know, she's telling me, I think that we don't think this is fatal. And see, if we could just take the word think out of that sentence, I would be okay. So, about 2 o'clock, the doctor comes back in the room, and she says, well, we finally got back your blood work, and everything looks real good. Your heart enzymes are good. Everything looks real good. And we think we're going to allow you to go home now and just follow up with your doctor in a couple days. But everything looks good. And we're just going to chalk it up to the maybe wearing the mask. That's pretty much what it came down to because they could not find anything that looked bad. And I'm having a conversation with her because I said, okay, so what would the heart enzymes show if they were not good? Well, it would show if you had coronary artery disease or something like that, or if there had been in damage to your heart. Your heart enzymes would be off because protein would be in your blood. And I said, well, that hasn't happened, right? And she said, no, your heart enzymes are okay. So I said, so what could be fatal here? Because, you know, earlier on you said you don't think this is fatal. But what could it be? She says, well, you know, more thorough exams could, we just want to be thorough. So, you know, if you ever want to go see a cardiologist or anything like that, go and do that. But she said, I don't think there's any problems here. And I said, okay, now see, the word think in these sentences is what's making, we don't think there are any problems here. So the guy comes back in, the nurse comes back in to unhook me. Now, I've had this IV in my arm. And by the way, you cannot do anything when you have an IV in one arm and you've got the oxygen bull sock monitor on your other finger. So you can't bend the one arm because you don't want to knock the IV out. And you got the little oxygen thing that beeps every time it falls off your finger. So you don't want to knock that off. But they get all my paperwork together. And they say, here you go, everything looks good, and go home, and we don't believe that there are any fatals. So the good news is that obviously there were not any fatals last night. Everything turned out hunky-dory, but I did not get to bed until 2 o'clock. Well, even after 2 o'clock, because now at 2 o'clock, I'm driving home from the hospital, and I noticed that there's nobody on the streets at 2 o'clock in the morning. Nobody. There was nobody on the boulevard. I don't think I even saw anybody on Route 95. You know, very bare. But I needed to stop and get gas, as I said. And so when I got to the hospital, there was a gasoline issue. So I stopped and got gasoline at 2 o'clock in the morning. Got home probably about 2:30. And it's kind of hard to wind down after that. So went to bed probably about 3:15, somewhere in that neighborhood. And, of course, had to get up and come in here this morning. So I probably have about 4 hours of sleep. But functioning on 4 hours of sleep, I don't think is that bad. But that was my harrowing experience from about 10:30 last night until about 3:30 in the morning. But you know, once you go through all that, you do feel better. When I left the hospital, I certainly felt better than when I went there. Because I think a thousand things go through your mind and you think, well, I need to get checked out. And when I saw that the chest x-ray was good, the EKG was good, the heart enzymes were good, all the blood work came back good, I thought, well, you know, maybe I'm just nuts as of yesterday. But that's why I only got 4 hours of sleep and will probably fall asleep very soon. 52 minutes past the hour. All right, so that's the story. Apparently somebody is desperate to get in here. All right. Go ahead, caller.
So welcome to the industrial medical complex.
I enjoyed it.
Is that the first time you've ever been into a hospital?
No. I've been in hospitals before.
Well, as a patient.
Well, no, I've been to the emergency room before.
Okay. I'm just kind of curious. They ordered the x-rays. Did they do all of the ordering of the x-rays before the doctor saw you?
Yeah, I guess so, because the doctor had not been in when I went down and got the x-rays.
So they ordered x-rays and everything. Did anybody even take a stethoscope and listen to your heart, your lungs, check your breathing before they ordered the x-rays?
Not that I remember.
See, they got you. You got insurance, they're running up the tab. You know, a doctor should have been there to order x-rays after listening to your heart, your lungs, see how you're breathing, functioning. And you mentioned about your blood pressure went up when the doctor came in the room.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of white coat syndrome?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's what that was.
That's what it was. Yeah. So, no, it's amazing. ERs are, I don't know, it used to be, it probably still is, contracted out. The hospital would contract out to ER specialists. So that could very well be what had happened. But, your insurance, good thing you got insurance, because it's probably going to be about $2,500 that visit.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and it turned out okay, and it gave me a peace of mind. And I believe, as I was saying yesterday morning on this program, which was kind of ironic, about how people check WebMD and then they don't go and get checked out when they have something happen, even if it's nothing, which obviously this turned out to be nothing. You need to do that, because if it was something, I would have been very glad that I did go.
Do you have a primary care physician?
I do, but I don't think I could have reached him at 10 o'clock at night.
Well, the question would be, if you did, when was your last checkup with him or her?
You know, I don't remember. It hasn't been all that long ago.
Well, hey, you got to keep up on that stuff. And people got to keep up with dental care, because that's where it happens first. Oddly enough, poor dental hygiene can just escalate into a whole host of health issues. So,
and those buses that hit you too can do that.
The buses?
Yeah, the buses. The car accidents, the buses.
Hey.
They'll cut you right off.
Sooner or later, life is going to kill you.
It's exactly right. Talk to you later.
See your health.
All right. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So, the moral of this story is more just that I did not get any sleep, but nothing was found. Apparently, my lungs are okay, which that's good to know. It's also good to know that the heart enzymes are okay, which means I have not had a heart attack, and apparently I don't have coronary artery disease. And the EKG was okay, which I guess also means that I did not have a heart attack. But I didn't think I had a heart attack. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, well, I'm glad you're still with us. Good morning.
Yeah, I lived through the night. How about that?
Yeah, it sounds to me like you may have had a panic attack yesterday in the middle of the day.
Well, you know, it could have been. I don't know. It was just a weird sensation. And,
yeah, I've had that too.
Well, I'll tell you, I was just glad, though, to get checked out, because I do believe sometimes people have those issues, and they don't get checked. And I'll tell you another thing that drove this. There's somebody who is within 20 days of my age, and, you know, we're all getting older at this point, and this year that person had a heart attack. So, in the back of my mind, I was thinking about that, I think.
Yeah, it's better to be safe than sorry and dead, you know, like, gotta take care of yourself.
Well, and I figure now if I drop dead, at least they'll have this all on record, that I was at the hospital last night, and the chest x-ray was good, the EKG was good, the blood test was good, so, you know, I'm on record that I was okay when I walked out of there last night.
Yeah, and it's also good that you've got to get your blood work done, and you can see that you are doing okay, despite eating your world-famous pizza, burgers, and donuts, and everything.
I'll tell you something that's true, because I do not take any blood pressure medication, cholesterol medication, none of that. So I'm not diabetic. So when she came back in with these blood results, also the blood pressure, which they were monitoring the entire time I was there, everything was fine. That was her report from the blood work. Everything's fine.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So you just got to start taking it easy as you get over 40. I think, I don't know how old you are, but over 40, you got to start watching your blood pressure and cholesterol and stuff and take care of yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yep. We'll see you later, Scott.
All right. Phone lines are open, but that was my harrowing experience. And again, I don't consider this so much a medical thing. I consider it a sleep deprivation thing. Because, see, that's where I'm at now, is no sleep last night. But that happens, and normally I would not have told that story, but I found it a little I guess it's just an oddity to me, because I normally don't go to the emergency room. It had been a while since I had been to the emergency room, and that was just a particularly interesting case. But I tell that story because I do want people, if they feel a little off, to go to the emergency room, because what does it hurt? And I did feel so much better after I had went, because I had the peace of mind that they had run all these tests and that there didn't seem to be anything going wrong. And now I also know where everything is and that everything's okay. We can probably fit another caller in here if somebody'd like to call, 740-383-9944. Don't forget, coming up today, we have Adam the Computer Guy from 2:10 to 3 p.m. and Voice of a People from 4:10 p.m. till 5 p.m. with Linda Sims today. But I do thank all the people at the hospital, by the way. They were all very nice. Nobody was rude. Nobody was impatient. The doctor who came in gave me all the time that I wanted or needed. It was fine. Go ahead, caller.
You're okay now so you get the bill. Then you'll have your next attack.
Oh, that's when it'll hit. I'll have to go back for a follow-up.
Yeah.
When the bill comes. Thank you. Yeah, you never know. When the bill comes, it could be then the real cardiac problem might slip in. But, everybody was great at the hospital, and I was treated quickly, aside from it taking a little bit of time to get the blood tests back. But I don't know how long it takes to get blood tests back. You know, I don't think they thought I was in any real danger after the chest x-ray and the EKG came back okay. So that was that. That's my night. Hopefully tonight will be spent sleeping better. But for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Said to the elephant, what are you going to do on my show? Said to the elephant, and then the elephant made a plot, you know. And it's like, would you get somebody clean this up?
Now here's what I know about Ed Sullivan from reading.
Well, Ed Sullivan had his 11th anniversary, and I happened to be on the show. And he says to me, Shecky, you're not going to mess up on his show, are you? I said, no, Ed, I promise I won't, you know. So I said to him, you introduce me. No, he says, what are you going to do? I said, well, you're on 11 years. Introduce me as, because I just got back from Europe, he and his wife, Sylvia. I said, introduce me as a German comic that you found in Germany that you brought back to the United States. He said, my God, that's a good idea.